following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hey everyone, welcome to New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, and we're going to be in the studio for 2 hours today to talk to you about whatever struggles you're going through, whether it's grief or anxiety or depression. We can talk to you here at New Life Live. Mental Health Awareness Month, that was last month, so maybe you don't hear as much talk about it. We talk about it all the time. Grab an open line. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. We've got licensed marriage and family therapist Dr. Jackie Mack Harris here, as well as clinical psychologist Dr. Alice Benton. And Alice, what's on your mind to start us off today?
Well, I want to give a forewarning to parents of young children, because I'll be talking about some ugly struggles with death, particularly thoughts of death. Have you ever wanted a family member or friend to die? Have you ever wanted to die yourself, even asked God to take your life, or plotted your own suicide? I bring up these ugly questions because we know that many in our audience may be struggling with these very thoughts today, or you have at some time, because a lot of you have had the courage to call us and admit it to us. These kind of thoughts can plague and agonize a person for years, and some people even have them on a daily basis. I've shared before that I had a death wish for a person in my life. I was shocked that I had it. I'm a very nonviolent, opposed to violence person, so why would I have a death wish for someone else? And people that have these kinds of thoughts, whether it's a fantasy about a murder-suicide, whether a person might consider choosing a building or which bridge they might use in their suicide, or perhaps they've held a weapon in their own hands. These are not uncommon things for people to go through, but we don't talk about it. And so when I had the thought myself, I was very startled to have a death wish thought about someone in my life. But what I want to tell everyone who has had these thoughts, you're not crazy and you're not evil for having the thought. Rather, you're probably very wounded, overwhelmed, and spread too thin. And it is manifesting in a thought that, of course, can become evil if we massage it, fantasize it, plan it out. And if we keep it to ourselves, it will become powerful. I believe there's spiritual warfare involved, because the enemy wants to take that thought and expand it and have us put it into action, wanting us to believe that that's the solution to the problem that we're facing. And so here are three things I invite you all to do, and this is what I needed to do with my own death wish. Confess, because the Bible says when we confess to others, they can pray for us and be healed, but we have to be very careful who we choose to confess to, because part of the healing from these thoughts is to be willing to go even into the ugly details of what you have considered doing to yourself or to someone else. And then we have to process that hurt that generated the thought. There's always a need in a hurt. And with suicidal or homicidal thoughts, the need usually is you need space from the abusing person. You need justice, acknowledgement for how you've been hurt. You probably need an apology and an amends that you may never get. But God's healing process through counseling helps you to receive those needs, even if you can't receive it from the people in your life. And if you're struggling with any of this today, we are equipped to hear about it and to help you.
Dr. Jackie, any thoughts?
I think that's such a great topic, and letting everyone know that we are equipped to talk about it is important, because so often people won't have these conversations because they're afraid. They think it's going to harm someone to have the conversation, and it's just critically important. So give us a call.
Or they're going to think, if I share this with my friend, they're going to think I've lost my mind or something, and they just don't feel that they can open up.
And although I gave the warning about young people, we know these thoughts are increasing in our young people.
Yeah. We'll be back on New Life Live.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so we started with a seed of $250,000, and we have just been blessed with another additional $50,000 towards the seed. So the match is now at $300,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Your gift will be doubled and it will make such a difference in the lives of so many people.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, did you know we are now on TikTok? Yeah, it's just another way that we're trying to meet people right where they are. And the people are on the TikTok right now. We meet them with truth, hope, and biblical wisdom. Great place to catch short moments from the show to share with someone who might need encouragement. You can search at New Life Ministries on TikTok, or click the TikTok icon in the footer at newlife.com. So much going on there at newlife.com. You can sign up for our daily devotional, our newsletter to find out what it is that we're going, what's going on here. Find out the latest about our webinars and our intensives. Again, go to newlife.com. You can also follow us on social media. Make a donation towards what we do here at New Life. And you can also submit your questions online via email, or you can leave us a voicemail. That's especially if you can't call in during the show. If you're listening right now, you can probably call in and ask your question. We've got Dr. Jackie Mac Harris and Dr. Alice Benton here for 2 hours, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call in. But if you want to leave us a voicemail or an email, the instructions are at newlife.com/radio. Here's a question that was submitted online. It's from Lynn, who listens on Sirius XM channel 131. And the question is, I do not feel that I love as I should when people express love for me. I'm married with children and grandchildren. I suffer from some depression, seasonal, etc., but usually manage without meds as they often make me feel numb. But the issue I'm asking about today, I don't believe is a depression issue. Lynn says, I have a hard time believing that I'm loved by the people that love me most, even my closest friends who express love for me. I've prayed a lot about this matter. I don't really feel connected to any of those who express love to me. Of course, I have feelings for my husband and family and friends and have social interactions with them all and would do anything for them, but I often have to just feel like a hypocrite. I don't care most of the time to interact with people. Mm. I'm very good at putting on a good front. I do want to love more, and I want to be a loving person. What can I do? Dr. Jackie, what do you say to Lynn?
The first thing that popped into my head is that sounds very much like an emotional avoider. And emotional avoiders tend to wall themselves off, and that wall prevents the sensations of love getting in. And so I tell people, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And so if you are closed off, if your heart is closed off, it's not receiving the love. I had a situation with a friend years ago who said to me, I don't know why you, he tells you these things. I told him, why you talk to her about that stuff? You know she doesn't have feelings. And I was, I have feelings. Mm. But I realized in that conversation that my friends and family couldn't feel the love I had for them. They couldn't feel the depth of love I had for them. And so I began to work on feeling what they were feeling. And I had to go into prayer. And I had a supervisor that told me to imagine myself sitting in Jesus's lap and then ask him, what is my issue with emotion? Why am I so disconnected? And wait for Jesus to speak. And he did. And he showed me some things about my life and my childhood. And he guided me to therapy and to some support. And it changed the way I do therapy. So for Lynn, I hope that you'll get the book, How We Love. and read it and go on the website and learn some more about yourself and your love style. And I hope that she can get some relief from walling herself off, because that disconnect is really about protecting herself, but she's also preventing herself from getting the love she wants.
Alice?
Lynn, I'm going to start on the surface and then go deeper. My husband, for probably years in our early marriage, got me flowers on a regular basis, and it actually agitated me because it wasn't the right love language. Saving money was much more valuable to me than flowers that died in a couple days. But I didn't have the assertiveness skills at the time to tell him. And so instead, I was feeling unloved while he was making this great act of love on a regular basis. So it may be that the people around you don't know how to speak your love language, and you might not even know what your own love language is. And so I challenge you to consider, to imagine, to let your mind get creative. Do you have any idea what acts, what way of treating you would lead to you feeling loved by your family? But that's just surface level, although it's important. You might also have the facade that I had in early marriage, where I acted like I was happy. I acted like I enjoyed those flowers because I didn't have the ability and the knowledge that sharing my discomfort would have actually been more loving to my husband. And he probably would have received it well. He would have stopped buying me flowers, which he did eventually when I finally told him. So maybe you struggle to share messy thoughts and feelings honestly with the people around you. That's a very common struggle, and it fits with the avoider attachment style that Jackie was talking about. Two final points here. You might have unresolved problems with these people in your life, so that even if they are kind or they do treat you well, the pain you hold might overwhelm those good interactions. And so your brain and your heart and your body are reminding you of all those unfinished issues that still need attention. And the last one is the deepest, meaning historically deep, because perhaps your parents did not know how to show love to you in a way that you could receive. So Jackie and I hear many stories, Brian too, of parents who provided physically. There was a roof, there were clothes, there was food on the table, but I never heard "I love you," never got a hug, never got a snuggle. There wasn't physical touch, maybe after the infancy stage, the toddler stage. And so all these areas are worth your exploration. And probably it would serve you to do that exploration with the help of a counselor. And so would you let us connect you with a counselor in our network by giving a call to New Life so that we can do that for you?
If your situation is similar to Lynn's, you can call us today. We're going to be here for 2 hours at 1-800-229-3000. You ladies touched on something. Yeah, because how is it that we express, how do we tell people what our love language is? Because you would think that, let's take your husband, for example, Alice, he could have just said, "Why aren't you just happy with the fact that I'm giving you flowers?" So you're afraid to maybe tell him because you might hurt his feelings or something.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Defensiveness is such a common reaction. What? I've been doing this great thing for you. How could you complain about it? And so it does take growing skills on both sides of the equation, that someone like me would have the courage to speak up, but to know how to do it gently and lovingly. "Thank you so much that you love me by buying flowers. I realize I have some fears about money. And so can we experiment? I think I'd feel more loved if you tell me how you're saving money by not buying me things that I don't need. Could we try that? I think I'd feel really loved that way. My invitation is gentle. It's kind of an attractive invitation, and it's not accusing him. And it's me taking responsibility for what I want and need."
Yeah, my love language is words of affirmation. And my husband's is acts of service. And so when I complained one day years and years ago, "You don't love me," he said, "Of course I love you. I go to work every day." Mm-hmm. And I thought, you would do that anyway. You would go to work anyway. It's how you're made. It's who you are. You got to have a place to live, and you got to have food to eat. But we studied the love languages, and we practiced each other's love languages. And so and paid attention also to how the other reacted and responded. And so I noticed that if I you know, prepare a special meal or put his laundry away. Just anything small that I just always thought of as just, it was a thing that needed to be done, so I did it. He feels deeply loved. And for me, whenever I'm speaking somewhere, he introduces me and I hear all the accolades and the warm fuzzies and I'm like, oh my gosh, he loves me. And so hearing him talk about me in a kind way feels like love to me. But we had to learn that. We had to learn about love styles and love languages. We had to learn what ours were, and then we had to learn, how do I show up in a way that makes, that feels loving to him, even though it's not what I need? And that's the hard thing. We're loving people in the way we want to be loved. So I'm telling him all the amazing things about himself, and that's going in one ear and out the other. He feels much more loved when I do small things around the house or I handle a problem for him. And so pay attention to what you get a big, good response from. If you, you know, bake somebody something out of the blue and they just rave about it, maybe that's their love language, the acts of service, right? Mm-hmm. If you, you know, take a day off to spend with someone and they are just so happy and profusely appreciative, that's their love language, just quality time. Some people, you bring them flowers, just even, you know, the $5 flowers that you got off the corner, that gift meant you were thinking of them, and that feels like love. So just, it's about paying attention and being open and communicating and not assuming bad when you say, I really don't need flowers every week. I'd rather save the money and watch our bank account grow, right? That's not bad, but it gets scary. It's scary to share that. Mm-hmm. My husband bought 3 dozen long stem roses one Valentine's Day, and he came to the door and I opened it and I screamed.
Scream of joy or scream of anger?
Anger. And this was in our early days of marriage, and so money was really tight.
Did you call into New Life Live that day? Because that would have been,
I should have. All I could think of was, how much money did he just spend on this? Is going to die tomorrow. And so I, when you were speaking, I totally understood that. So my husband's never bought me roses again. But he gets that I'd much rather have a $100 steak than a, you know, bunch of roses that are going to die. But if we don't share those things, then we feel not seen and not known, because we haven't told, we haven't let ourselves be seen and known. And so if you know these things about yourself, be open to sharing them with your partner, and in a soft way. Like, you know, I love the way that you brought the conversation to your husband.
Quiz me, Jackie. Let's see if we can remember all the love languages. I think I'm missing one. You've said words of affirmation, which is just basically praise and words of encouragement. Acts of service. I like it when somebody does something, when you fix something in the house. Physical affection, touching, hugging, snuggling. Quality time. Mm-hmm. I want us to be paying attention to each other, eyeball to eyeball, hanging out with each other, doing something fun. Am I missing one?
Gifts. The one that's not your love language.
That's why she couldn't remember it. Yeah.
Because the one I forgot was touch.
So, really quick, to all the florists who might be listening right now.
We love you guys.
We totally support you. We're not trying to, you know, hopefully flower sales won't go down or anything, but, you know, thank you for what you do. Flowers are beautiful, but they're not for Jackie or Alice. So keep that in mind. Anyway, give us a call. 1-800-229-3000 is our number, and we're going to go to the phones in just a little bit. I saw Andrew on the phone, but okay, he's not ready yet. So in the meantime, I'll let you guys know about our matching gift challenge that's going on right now. If you were listening last week, it was $250,000. And then this week, we announced that it had grown to $300,000. And that's because one of our already generous donors decided to put more towards it. And because this person really understands what we're doing here at New Life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know personally who this person is, but maybe they've benefited before. Maybe they've called in. Maybe they've had a family member who called in and we helped them. And we've helped so many people over the last almost 40 years, and we want to continue to do what we're doing. So right now we've got this matching gift challenge. It's $300,000, so whatever you can give will be doubled to the $300,000. And we look forward to seeing what the Lord is going to do with this. So we've got a few ways that you can submit your donation. You can do that online at newlife.com/match, or you can text the word MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 28950. You can call in, too, to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can send a check in the mail if you want. And we've got our new mailing address there on our website, newlife.com. Scroll down to the footer, and you'll see the P.O. box there. You can send in a check. Thank you so much for whatever you can do. We look forward to what the Lord has in store for New Life Ministries in the years and decades to come. It all starts with what you do today, the seed you plant. So do, you know, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart at newlife.com/match or text match to 28950. Going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with your phone calls. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. Linda, we'll go to you first when we come back on New Life Live.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity, impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Linda is listening to us in Olympia. Thank you, Linda, for calling 1-800-229-3000. You're on with Dr. Jackie Mac Harris and Dr. Alice Benton. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I have a son who is 43 now and has had schizophrenia. I guess he was diagnosed when he was 20, but I think, you know, he had it before. And my question is, he feels like God has told him many, many times that God was going to heal him, but that he maybe had to do this or that or something. And I mean, he's given away clothes and a bike, and he's now been shaving his head, and it has to be with a razor that you would just do on your face. And it, you know, he does cut himself sometimes, and his head will bleed, and he gives up different foods and everything because he wants to be healed so bad, and he wants to get married and have a family. and it just, it breaks my heart. And my other son, you know, we just struggle with all this. Mm. And my husband passed away almost 4 years in November. Mm. And so I don't have his support. And he was a devotional counselor. And so he was helpful, you know, but now he is gone. So I just, and when he hears the voices telling him, or he thinks that's God, and he just doesn't know what to do and doesn't understand why God doesn't heal him when he does all this stuff, and he gets these weird pains sometimes in his chest or his ears. And I mean, he's on medication, so I don't know.
Is he seeing a therapist, Linda?
Yes, he does. And he has a really wonderful Christian, well, he actually has two, but one is more of his a friend mm-hmm. that he does see. But I think because he, you know, can't understand all what's happening, they help him, you know, and tell him things. But then it just, when these things happen, I don't know what to say to him. I'd say, well, I don't know. God is allowing this. You know, God doesn't cause these things. It just happens, and we don't understand it all.
And Linda, in all this pain, is that your main question for us? What do I say to him when he lays out this, God will heal me if I do this next thing?
Yeah, that's part of it, right. And they keep telling me, don't have to shave your head, mm-hmm. especially with a razor like that.
And if that's part of it, what's the other part of your question?
I don't know how, what do I say to him? How can I help him? Is there anything? And I am going to look at your website. I keep not doing that, but I am going to do that. If there's anything about schizophrenia on there. Yeah, because when I listen to most Christian TV things, nobody really addresses that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I wish they would.
Yeah. But
of course. And Linda, as concerning as your son's behavior is, he has auditory hallucinations, and we'll address that in a moment. I want to start with you, because your heart is so very burdened. And you want, of course, to have the right answers to give him to questions that yeah. don't necessarily have a right answer. And so would you tell
right.
us, what is the strongest emotion you feel when you watch your son suffering and you watch God not healing him? What do you feel?
Sometimes I feel angry and anxiety and so sorry for him to have this life when he's always wanted to have a Christian wife and marry and have children.
Linda, have you ever felt partly responsible for how he suffers?
Maybe sometimes, because nobody knows what causes schizophrenia. When we were younger, we had a boat, and he fell. Well, he was sitting in the driver's chair, and he did fall. And I mean, I don't know if it was about 2.5 feet, maybe. And I always wondered if that could have caused it. And also at birth, he was kind of stuck in the canal, and so they had to do a cesarean.
Wow.
All right, yeah. Linda, hold on the line really quick. We've got to take a break, but we want to continue our conversation with you here on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We're going to be here for the next 90 minutes. Call in.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One Partner Initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-41.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 Steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 Steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 Steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go back to Linda in Olympia, and she's calling in about her 43-year-old son with schizophrenia, and she says, no other Christian talk show talks about this kind of stuff. Well, we do here at New Life Live. We talk about the issues that other places don't want to talk about. So you can call in with your questions as well to 1-800-229-3000. So right before the break, Linda, you were talking about a couple of things that happened to your son that you think might have led to this. And what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, Linda, you said that when he was little, he had a traumatic brain injury from falling on the boat. Falling a couple of feet?
Yeah. I mean, we never took him, you know, to a doctor or anything. He seemed fine at the time, and he never even crossed my mind back then.
But you've been thinking and trying to pinpoint what it could have been, and then you had a traumatic birth.
Yes, I did.
But all those things could impact it and could also impact you. And Alice was asking about you. This has been lifelong. You mentioned your husband had passed four years ago, but this has been a lifelong challenge, right? Has he been dealing with this all of his adult life?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I think kind of started when he was maybe 17, 18.
Do you know if he was ever into drugs at all? Maybe smoke pot?
Maybe marijuana. I don't. You did marijuana, but I don't think you did any of those other ones.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it started around that time?
He probably did some drinking and some. Some marijuana.
There's evidence. There's research out there that says that teenagers smoking marijuana is dangerous. If there is mental illness in your family tree, in your DNA, that uh-huh. marijuana can be the key that unlocks schizophrenia in adolescence. Mm-hmm. And so it's very uh-huh. possible that it was, he could have smoked something that unlocked this. Are there other people in the family that have mental illness?
Yes, in some of my cousins that are in his age group, because we're, let's see, my mom and then all of her sisters have children, and some of them have issues, but nothing mm-hmm. like schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. They maybe had some bipolar stuff like that. Yeah, it seemed like the last, because my mom was one of eight girls, and then they had one boy. So
there have been struggles throughout the family, yes. but your family is dealing with the most severe presentation of it. And so I want to give you a couple of thoughts of how you might proceed. And the first one might surprise you. It's counterintuitive. One of the best ways you can love your son is to take care of yourself. Because when you're in anger and in anxiety and you're striving to get the right answer for him, it's not your best version of yourself. Our best version is when we can access serenity, which feels impossible to do in your situation. And I think it is humanly impossible, but it's not impossible with God and with the right help around us. That right help probably entails for you a NAMI group, National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Yes.
I've worked with other families with a child with schizophrenia, and the parents have found such support in NAMI, understanding strategies from other parents who have already walked that part of the journey previously. I'd also have you, Linda, consult with his therapist. It's great that he's in therapy. There are actually a couple of signs that your son, in dealing with schizophrenia, he's managing awfully well, considering the extremes we know it can go to. But that doesn't diminish your pain at all. So consulting with his therapist and considering having a family therapy session so that you can get equipped by his therapist who knows him so well. How should I respond in situations like these? But lastly, usually the best answer when someone is in pain is not to give them the "this is why God isn't healing you" answer. This is the theological reason why. That actually hardly ever helps. And we don't even know what that answer is. Rather, being a loving, empathic listener. "Son, this is hard. I don't know why either. I don't have all the answers either." Sometimes I do say, "I know that healing will come in the afterlife. But not in this time, not at this time."
Right.
So please turn your focus into taking care of yourself primarily, because then you'll be able to show it better for your son.
And I think in addition to what Alice is saying, and I agree with everything she said, I would encourage you to have him think about the little micro changes that may be happening in his life, because sometimes our life is changing and getting better, and we can't see it because we're in it. And so we don't see the change. There's plenty of times where I'm sitting with a client that I've seen great improvement, and I'll ask them how do they feel like they're doing in terms of reaching their goals, and they feel very far from it. And then I get to share what I see, and it's like, "Oh yeah, that's right. I have been doing that." And so there might be some places in which things have gotten better. And so he can lean into that and watch for more as he's doing his work. Because as Dr. Alice said, he sounds like he's managing. He's taking his medication. He's communicating clearly with you in ways that you can understand. He's there. You didn't give, complaints about him wandering and things like that. Seems like he's doing better than most. Mm-hmm. And so you can have these conversations with him. And there may be a need for him to accept the grace that he's living in right now with this disorder. He still has connection with his family, hopefully friends, maybe wanting to make new friends. So I really appreciate you calling in, but I also agree with Dr. Alice. Please take care of yourself.
Yeah.
treatment compliance with schizophrenia is so rare. He has a very high level of compliance.
Yes.
Linda, thank you for calling us today from Olympia, Washington on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. Stay on hold and we'll connect you with someone in your area who will be able to assist you. And like you said, you've been meaning to check out our website, newlife.com. So do that and look for some great articles and resources and books in our store that can help you out. We're coming up to our break and we've got plenty more phone calls, so stay on the phone. Don't hang up yet. 1-800-229-3000. Plus, we're going to be here for an extra hour after this hour is done. So keep on calling. But Linda's call just prompted something that... So a friend of mine recently started a podcast about hearing the voice of God. So what do we do when there's someone in our life, like in Linda's life, who feels that they're hearing the voice of God when it may not be that?
It's a pretty sensitive topic that has to be approached with great care. Mm-hmm. Because on the one hand, we want to boost and encourage decisions of faith and the desire to seek God, while also in cases of schizophrenia or psychosis, being willing to gently question that we know that schizophrenia often includes auditory hallucinations. And so whether or not a person struggles with psychosis, all of us have to try to discern what is God's voice, what is our own thought, what is a message that comes from another source. And so the willingness to say, all of us need to try to discern that, and it's difficult for everyone, but an auditory hallucination is certainly different than hearing from God. And most of us don't hear God's voice directly. It's incredibly rare to hear God in an auditory way. Of course, it can happen, but it's very rare. And so it's helping to parse that out and having that gentle discussion with a person suffering from psychosis.
In times where I've had that conversation, we've usually tested the reality of whatever the statement is. And sometimes it's not even something that's possible to do, or it's something bad or harmful. And so then we can go to scripture. Would God cause you to do this harmful thing? And helping them to learn how to discern, because it is, it's a very sensitive thing. And you have to really kind of be in it and be in relationship and kind of walk closely. And having someone to do that with, I think, can make the journey of schizophrenia a little bit easier.
Yeah. And we can put you in touch with someone when you call us here at New Life. Our main number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also visit our website, newlife.com. But if you've got a question for Drs. Jackie Mack Harris or Alice Benton, call in to 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here for the rest of this hour and all of next. Paula, Andrew, Karen, we see you guys, and we're going to get to your call in just a moment. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. Don't forget, like I said, we're on TikTok now, so follow us there as well as Facebook, YouTube, all the things. We'll be right back on New Life Live.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating, because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
In a world that constantly tells us who we should be, it's easy to feel confused about who we truly are, but Scripture offers a powerful and clear answer, I should say. Your identity is not defined by your past, your struggles, the labels others place on you. It's defined by God. Counselor, co-host, and workshop leader J.J. West is going to be talking about this in the Identity in Christ, What the Bible Says webinar. It's happening next week, Thursday night, June 11th. You can get all the details at newlife.com. Or if you text the word webinar to 28950, you can get more information. And we'll send you a free tip sheet as well called 5 Ways to Live Confidently in Your Identity in Christ. Again, that's next week. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to reach us in the studio today. Let's go to Paula, listening on WAVA on in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Paula, to New Life Live on line 2.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hello. What's going on with you?
So at the beginning of the call, I think it was Becky was saying, had asked the question if we had ever wished a death wish on someone, and I did. I told my husband that I wished that he would just die, and he has not been able to forgive me for that. And so he keeps proving to me that I'm not his person because he doesn't want to do the work to save our marriage, and so I'm okay with divorcing. And so we've actually been separated physically since August of last year, even though we still maintain the same household. And I just don't, like I heard she said, confess it. I've done that. I've explained it. So, of course, I've confessed it to God. I've processed the hurt that I was in and that I caused him. But I didn't hear what the third thing was. And then the second part to this question is, I do hate him. And I know the Bible says that you can't love God if you hate someone. And so I don't really know how to process that.
Alice?
Paula, would you tell us why you hate your husband?
Because he's been emotionally abusive. Mm-hmm. Like, he withholds his emotion from his support for me. That's his means of punishing me. And so he withholds his affection. Like, he hasn't been affectionate in years. And he does that to try to control me, especially with the silence. And so it caused me, I didn't have a mental breakdown, but it really impacted my mental health. But the Lord has healed me from that. I'm stronger because of it. But I just don't know how to, like, go forward with that. My husband has chosen not to forgive me for saying that to him. And so he just wants to do whatever he can to make my life miserable.
How long ago did you say that to him?
Roughly. I want to say maybe about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And how long have you been married?
It would have been 24 years last week.
And do you have any minor children still?
We have one who will be 17 in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we still have one minor child. Mm-hmm.
So that third thing you were asking about is actually probably right on point for you. Because it's understandable that you hate your husband who has not been willing to get help from the sounds of it and, in fact, actively tries to hurt you and punish you, withholds affection from you, and you're headed towards a divorce. So the third part of my suggestion was to identify what you need. You hate him. He has hurt you. At times you've wished him dead. What do you need? And the things I had listed out were space, justice, acknowledgement, apology, amends. And some of those you will never get from him, at least from the sounds of it, unless there's a miracle, unless he gets help. And so for you, it will be identifying what you need. But before you tell me what you think that is, have you two ever gotten marital counseling? And is he at all open to it at this point? And you might be beyond it, but has he ever been willing?
We came to marriage, intimacy and marriage. We came to that conference. It was amazing. We came back with a reset, and then he went back into the same mode again. And then he recently went to Every Man's Battle, which I thought he was going to come back, you know, at least willing to talk about it. He came back worse. And so he just refused to engage in conversation with me, and I'm not really sure what to say to him. So we just really live separate lives now. So I don't know where he is mentally, physically he's here in this home, but we don't, we occupy separate spaces.
And he struggles with sexual integrity. He struggles with sexual integrity, and he's active in his struggle. He just gave in to the struggle after Every Man's Battle.
Oh, okay.
Is that right? Did I understand you correctly?
I don't know. He just refused to talk about it. He came back worse in the sense that he didn't say anything to me about the conference, and we just continued to live separate.
He came back more distant. When you say worse, it was like he's more disconnected, more distant, more resolved to be apart from you.
Correct.
And he went to Every Man's Battle because he had the sexual integrity issue?
No, I actually suggested that he go because I knew that that had been a problem before. Mm. And like with the porn addiction, even though he said that he had not been doing it. And so I felt like that was going to be the last ditch effort. I was like, maybe you should check this out. And so he went. And so I thought that he would at least come back relieved or, you know, some glimmer of hope, but he came back even more resolved to just live without me. And so this has been going on for like, ever since I said that to him that I just wished he would die, he has just been very withdrawn from the marriage.
Have you ever felt like what you're feeling right now in dealing with him? Have you ever encountered this sensation before? The disconnect, the withholding affection. What was childhood like for you?
For me, I was raised in a very chaotic home in the sense that my parents argued a lot. There was no physical abuse, but there was a lot of arguing, and then there would be the silence for days, sometimes weeks, between the two of them. And so that was something that going into the marriage, I asked my husband, can we not have that? Mm. You know, if we ever have a disagreement, can we at least settle it? And so he knew that that was my heart towards our marriage. And so that's why he uses that to punish me.
Mm.
And have you been able to hold back from perpetrating what your parents did to each other?
Yes, because I like to talk about things and I like to get to the bottom of it. And so it's like the more I pursue him, the more he withdraws, the more he avoids me.
So was it the yelling and screaming like your, was it the, when you would pursue, was it heated like with your parents?
Sometimes it would get that way, yes.
So there are a couple.
I was very adamant about getting to the bottom. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Of course, you desired to solve the problem, but you might have had been hot in the way that you went about it. We want to give you a couple of suggestions as we're coming towards a close. You may have some more healing work to do because of the ways you have hurt him. Even if you two divorce, for the sake of your own conscience and the sake of your 17-year-old, to tell somebody, I wish you would die, of course, is a wounding that is very difficult to heal. And he's shut down that healing process you've attempted. But I would have you ask him, is there something that I can do to help heal the hurt that I've caused, both by getting loud and by telling you what I did about death? Now, you may or may not be able to do what he asks, but it's you taking that step of responsibility to try to clean up your side of the street. And my guess about your need is that if he again today would say, I am not getting help for our marriage and I want to continue with this pursuit of separation, divorce, especially if he's still using pornography, you probably need space. Not necessarily a divorce yet, but a legal separation and a stronger physical separation, because that can bring clarity to a situation like this.
Paula, thanks for your phone call. And we're going to be in the studio for another hour. So keep calling in. Andrew, we'll talk to you when we come back on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.